Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
But I'm excited to be together. I always am. I haven't said it in a while, but I get reminded in preparation about how fortunate we are. I'll say how fortunate I feel and how fortunate we are that we, point to the best example I know of. Our billboard for the church is back up that says, God's not angry. We noticed on the drive-in. And to know him and his love and know the truth of why he came and lived and died for us is crazy. Like, and what I mean for me, I get reminded from the standpoint of having lived as a slave and then being set free. So, which is where we were last week. We're going to pick up there. First, I knew slavery, just to put that in context. I knew what it felt like to be in bondage before Christ. I remember it. I choose to remember it. I don't do well communicating this way about emotions, but I can write about them. I'm learning to get better this way. But when I write, I seem to be able to write what is harder for me to say. It starts to flow better, if that makes sense. Yes?
You talk about your old slavery. You talk about your background. Where some of us don't realize your background.
You mean my previous faith, religion? Okay, no, I don't. So you happen to be referring to my Jewish origin? No, I don't mean that.
Okay.
It all ties in. I mean, when I talk about before Christ, I just know what it was like to be in a position of seeking and never finding, feeling like I was missing something, wondering if I can only get here, then I'll be happy. The performance, which comes from all of our heritages, whatever backgrounds they are. But yes, I definitely had exposure from the Jewish side of my family. My mother's Jewish. I was raised both Jewish, and my father's family is backwoods in North Carolina. So I had a very interesting mix, New York Jew and North Carolina Methodist Presbyterian type mix. And so on Sunday, I would go to the, when I was in North Carolina visiting, go to the little wooden church pew and sing Onward Christian Soldier. But the rest of the time I was going through a Jewish upbringing. So no, it wasn't that. I saw hypocrisy in religion in general. So my buddies in high school were Catholic, and nothing against Catholicism or against Judaism or against Presbyterian or Methodist. That's not the point. It was the people I was engaged with that weren't living free, and seeing hypocrisy and seeing the adults living lives that weren't full of joy and yet telling me this is how I'm supposed to live. So what I meant by bondage wasn't religion. It was, but religion fits in as well. There just wasn't freedom anywhere. It was just this, something's missing, something's broken. I have to be in control and it's up to me, but deep down inside I know I'll screw it up. It's not working. It hasn't worked. I'm not, and that's not a self-deprecation thing. Although I will say, without Christ, I didn't know full appreciation of who he made me to be, right? So first of all, bondage outside of Christ. Then receiving Christ and hearing there is actually something that makes sense. There is an answer. And I don't know how to explain that. I don't want to worry about it. Some people love apologetics, and that's awesome, and love to be able to give an account for your faith. And you should be, if that works for you. For me, my encounter overrides my intellect. That's the better explanation for me. I can support all the things, and I did for the next 20 years after I found Christ. I got led down a path to learn what it is you believe and memorize and study and learn. And there was all kinds of beauty and all kinds of great encounter. Good morning, Sal. Encounters in that journey. But nevertheless, it was bondage, was my point. So in bondage before Christ, then I end up receiving Christ, but start to live forgetting I'm free, or start to live studying the bondage side of religion instead of, and funny, religion means to be retied, rebound. What do we want to be rebound to, though? So religion by nature isn't good or bad. You can tie yourself to something that's performance-based and not in alignment with his truth, or the religion of grace. There's religion there. I want to be constantly renewed and tied and bound to him and what he did for me. But all that was to say, the freedom thing is an encounter. It's not an intellect. So I rather than try and come up with 17 things that prove why I feel free and how good it feels to be free, instead, there's an encounter of peace and joy that I can't explain a formula. I just know what it's like to have felt bound and what it's like to feel free. So last week we talked about Galatians 5:1, where Paul says, it's for freedom that Christ set me free. Last time I said it too loud, I listened to the recording. But how do you not scream it? And he was saying, never again will I be put in the chains of put back in bondage. So, and then we went to Romans 8:1. I skipped the beginning where it says, there is now no condemnation in Christ. That's where the freedom is. Condemnation is where bondage is. There is now no condemnation in Christ. The Spirit of life has set us free from the spirit of death, of sin and death. Okay, so I wanted to look closer at that. We said we'd explore this week, where are there maybe some patterns that still exist where we forget, where we need renewal. And the word renew, we looked at the definition. I skipped sharing the coolest part of the definition, I realized when I was reviewing. The coolest part of the definition is the word resume. If you look up in our dictionary, in the English dictionary, you'll see renew has a word resume, as in return to. So renew, we've already been made new. So we don't need to get re-saved or get re-washed or re-cleansed as Romans 12:2 had been taught to me. Do not conform to this world. Uh-oh, don't. It's a don't. It already starts out with this command that I'll probably screw up if it's on my own strength. Don't be conformed to this world, but instead take every thought captive by the renewal of your, renewing of your mind, which therefore, once we started down that description, I have an old mind that needs renewing. No, I don't. No, you don't. One second. Yes, there's a renewal. Let me hear. Yeah, please.
You know what? This is
hold on, Sal.
Today. It's amazing, okay? Because I have a battle that I'm fighting with a lot of family problems, giving me stuff to make me feel guilty, all this kind of stuff. And I was praying, okay? Uh-huh. And I'm praying, and the Holy Spirit remind me, okay, in Hebrew, okay, that the law was obsolete, okay? So the Holy Spirit to me said, so even the old man is obsolete. He's no
Amen.
More. He's no more. You are a new creature in Christ. So,
by the way, I'm going to change saying he's no more. In my mind, it's now going to be he's a no more. I like it more. I like it. I love it. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So when I said,
yes.
Whoa, I say, this is good.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So the old man, see, when the enemy attacks us, okay, in the flesh, we should say, wait, you talk to the old man that he is obsolete long time ago. So you...
Sal's saying, talk to the hand, talk to the old man.
Exactly.
Right. The law has been fulfilled and is passed away.
Yes.
Has been fulfilled. I don't want to say language that causes someone
Jesus
to write an email.
Fulfilled
right. Fulfilled it. And so I'm not antinomian. We don't hate the law. We love the law and what it did to lead us to Christ and a need for a Savior. And a Savior came, fulfilled the law. Our old man is gone as well, is your point, which I love. Yes. Amen. Yes. Thank you. And thank you for giving me an even more passionate way of... remembering, the older man, he's a dead. Yes, amen. So this spirit of sin and death compared to the spirit of life, what is, like to say death, we think of alive or dead, right? But let me ask you this, as far as thoughts are concerned, if I start to fear that something bad is going to happen, does that fall under life or death? Death, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this. If I have sickness, is sickness part of life or part of death? It's part of death, right? It's part of a death and dying process. So in the natural or emotionally, we've been set free. Zoe life, we said, was full life. Actually, sorry, sozo was full life. When we're sozoed, when we were made whole, in the Greek, that's referring to, and in the New Testament, when it says that we were sozoed, it is body, soul, and spirit. So my thoughts that align with death, I've been set free from the spirit of sin and death. And instead, it's life that set me free. So if we're being renewed, which is simply returning to, resuming what was already true, not fixing something that's broken or cleansing something. Instead, as we go down where we're going to go down today, we're simply being aware of the spirit of life that has set us free. And if there's a pattern that is attempting from the enemy to whisper or have us stay stuck in a place that doesn't align with the kingdom and with his promises, then why not bring it into the light and let the spirit of life, it's already wiped it out. There's such a semantical thing here. And I actually ran across something that I wanted to make sure to cover up front. I love how this guy put it. His name is Ty Cobb. Do you know Ty, Bill? I don't know him. I just... So he made this statement, and it's great for us in here, particularly for me, because I like technologies. I like things that strengthen my privilege in Christ, strengthen my awareness of how favored and loved I am, and allow that to live out. He says, Don't let anyone make grace into a work that you must do. While grace certainly empowers us, if we define it as a divine enablement only, it soon becomes just a tool for the law mindset. Don't let grace become about you and your responsibility to perform when it is all about him and his free, unmerited gift. This isn't self-help 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning, how to use grace to get a new Mercedes or, make my pinky regrow some of the skin that was cut off. That's not when Christ said we touched on it last time in John 6:20.
All things come together for good.
Yes. Amen. Some people are worried. I saw what be saying, we're not believing that. That is, God is here for all of that. I'm getting there. All I'm saying is what he's saying here and what he says in John 6:20, it's worth going to. Yeah, yes, exactly. Here we go. Okay, 6. So right before he says, and I reference often here, we talk about that, the disciples asked Jesus, what are the works of the Lord? And he says simply this, to believe on the one that he sent. We're talking about renewing our mind, believing on the one that he sent. We've been set free. That's the path we're on. But prior to that, they've just come from feeding the multitudes miraculously, right? And now they've crossed over. And Jesus says in 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food which perishes, but for food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father gave his seal." Then it goes on to say, what are the works of the Lord? But he's saying, don't focus on, just like Ty Cobb's saying here, don't turn grace into this formula. It's not about what you want. You got all that and more. The kingdom is everything, unlimited. The tree of life is unlimited. But if you focus on the fruit instead of the creator and just being in the vine, the branch that's in the vine, it gets missed. Anyway, that was a little bit long of a rabbit trail to simply say as we go. Okay. So we left off inviting you to think about some things that places where you don't feel free, and inquired or challenged you to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal areas that aren't necessarily massively dramatic. They don't have to be big. He's interested in the littlest of things. And by the way, the little things, anybody ever play Jenga or whatever game that comes to mind? It's the littlest thing that can cause the whole thing to collapse. So there may be one little area where you're clinging to safety or bondage, and it seems so unimportant, especially in spiritual things, but that area is blocking so much of the flow of the Spirit and you being in step with the Spirit. We have the Spirit. He lives in us. You can't change that. You've accepted Christ. The very same Spirit that lived in Jesus lives in you, okay? And so we can't stop that, but it does invite us to choose to be in step, meaning let him lead, walk side by side. Do not lean on your own understanding. It says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Instead, in all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. Have you ever paused to think about that one? What is it to acknowledge him? How hard is that? What does acknowledge mean? Show me how you would acknowledge
bringing
God.
Into the activity.
So in easiest terms, simplest terms.
Jesus do type scenario.
Okay, so right now, if I'm not saying his name, am I acknowledging him? Either
yes.
In here or in
yes.
If I'm not thinking about him or speaking him in this moment, am I acknowledging? But if all I do is speak his name or think his name, haven't I just acknowledged him?
Yes.
I saw people, I don't want to have you agree with me unless you do. If I'm not thinking about him and not speaking his name, am I necessarily in the act of acknowledgement?
If you are going about your day in a place of just being free, you could be subconsciously thinking about him.
Okay, I didn't hand you the mic so the camera could hear. Beth was sharing that you could be living in flow is what I'm going
to
share it as, living a free kingdom life where you're just doing what you do, going about your day, and you can be in that space where your very life is living an acknowledgement. And I completely agree. In this scripture, contextually, where it says, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways. So then instead, I would say, at those times where we've slipped into this pattern, large or small, where we're resting on our own understanding, then we have chosen to elevate that instead of acknowledge him. And therefore, if all we would do is acknowledge him, he will make our path straight, it goes on to say. He will guide us. This was about being in step with the Spirit. The sons of God are led by the Spirit. We're invited to stay in step with the Spirit. We're invited to do it as an act, even though he's in me. It's an invitation. It's not a command. So last week, we wrapped up with Steve being bold to share an example What are some areas where we're not living free? The example that Steve gave was, what's that? Right. Was it double?
I didn't do that this morning, by the way.
Okay.
I had a stick and shake double cheeseburgers.
Nice. Okay. Instead of the double chocolate donut, he said he stopped by and got his double cheeseburger. Okay. So, yeah. Well, and again, we did it so fast. I want to reinforce a couple points here. One is, this doesn't have to be something spiritual. Is donut eating spiritual? Does that have any impact on whether he gets into heaven or not? None. Does it have any bearing on whether he's a good...
faster.
I get there faster, somebody said. Does it have any bearing on whether he's a good husband or not? Does it have any bearing on whether he's a good father or not? Or whether he excels in his career or in his friendships or relationships? No, it's a donut. Okay? Well, people are projecting on him now for the camera that can't hear them. It could send him to heaven early. It could affect all those things. And they're saying that because they're speaking from their own understanding that eating donuts over and over and over again has a biochemical effect on the body that can then affect your emotions and affect how you respond to your wife, how you respond to even remembering and acknowledging God instead of resting on your own understanding. And all. So, you're not wrong that it can, and eating donuts can lead to death. Meanwhile, I just watched a documentary on Warren Buffett, who is 86, I think. I don't know if he stopped, but in the video, in his 70s, he was still driving to work every day, pulling into McDonald's, and he had three numbers, 216, 298, and 315. He says every morning he would tell his wife which number. And then she would have that in his cup holder. And depending on how he felt about the markets and whatever, he'd either get the double sausage biscuit, which was 219, or the egg and sausage biscuit, which was 298, or the egg and cheese and sausage biscuit, which was 319. That particular day when they were filming him driving to work, he said, the markets, I'm a little concerned. We're going with the 298. He pulled up, gave her exactly $2.98, took his a McDonald's thing to the office, put it in a microwave, and filled up a thing of Coke in his break room and went and sat at his desk. Now, I'm guessing if he did that every morning, there's some of you going, he's going to die early. Well, he's 86 and still rocking. Okay, so I'm not saying whether you should or not. My point in this discussion was for us to... not make it so grand and just come to that area where you are willing to allow the Holy Spirit to bring to your awareness that you're not living the freedom that's yours. And the trigger happens. And so for Steve, on the ride to work, ride to church last Sunday, he offered that I ate the double chocolate donut. I want to make the point there's nothing wrong with a double chocolate donut. So why did Steve offer up that was an area of bondage? And we can't answer. Steve has to answer. Would you pass that back to Steve? Because it's whatever it is for him, and there's no right or wrong. If he felt a sense of bondage there or not total freedom, that's what matters.
Right. Well, I guess for me, the way I looked at it was driving me or compelling me to be fixated on it or obsessed with it. So that my interpretation of that was, all right, I'm not fixated on God, I'm fixated on this, something else. And indirectly, probably felt like I was displeasing God because that was my obsession. So okay. It was where my heart was. I think that's from upbringing, Christian upbringing over years, then, you know, where your heart is, there's your treasure, there's your heart. In
okay,
Matthew.
So can you do us a favor now?
Sure.
Go back to Sunday morning, Sunday.
You want me to retract that again?
No. I want you to, get in your car, in your mind.
Okay.
Start pulling out. Where did the, when did bondage trigger?
I was on 434 and I saw the sign.
Okay. Prior to the sign, did you feel free or was there
tension? No, I felt a total freedom. I was like, you know, I'm getting off to work early here.
Okay.
And, sun rose and I felt good. But all of a sudden, in the peripheral vision, my left corner of my eye, I'm like, Dunkin' okay. Donut. And then I immediately screeched and pulled into that as fast as I could.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I think that's where the shift happened in my mind.
What? And what were the feelings?
Okay. Hey, I'm trying to protect you.
So the laughter, in case you can't hear it, is some people are coveting now and craving the donut and picturing the Dunkin' Donut sign.
So now I'm guilty of everybody falling.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you saw the sign, you turned in. In that moment, was there any conflict, or was it just, I'm getting a donut?
No, it really wasn't a conflict. I thought, okay, double chocolate donut, cup of coffee.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then when did you feel conflict when the question was asked here in class?
I think I felt more of a conflict when I kind of rehashed it. I revisited it and said to myself, oh, my gosh.
After it was in, halfway in?
It was, no, it was all the way in. This sucker was down the esophagus within 20 seconds. So, yeah.
Okay.
And believe me, when it was going down the esophagus, I didn't feel any guilt at all.
Okay.
I mean, the endorphins were firing. Serotonin levels were really up high.
So in all seriousness... Yeah. So you got to work, and then it hit you, or there was still sugar drip?
Yeah, I got to work, and started feeling a little shaky, a little weak. Someone had a problem, and I looked at him and said, well, I'll deal with it when I'm able to. And so I got a little bit, and I think there was a residual guilt, and out of that guilt, I changed my attitude toward another individual. And not maybe because of biochemical, maybe because I felt like I was out of alignment with God somehow. So...
Because
and I know that it's not, I just want to share that, be as real as possible, that those are the kind of internal conflicts that go on spiritually.
You were out of alignment, though, because you gave in. What was out of alignment?
What was out of alignment, I think, was...
But I want to ask a question.
I felt my guilt actually disqualified me from God's favor in a way.
Okay, but I'm curious. When you had that reaction, was there guilt yet? Or are you thinking about it now?
You mean the reaction at the time? Or?
First, I'm asking you to be raw. What, you ate the donut, you were done. Did you feel any bondage after eating it?
Yes, gradually.
Then, not looking back and going, I shouldn't have reacted that way to that person, because that probably wasn't in the moment. What was in the moment was you just ate the donut. Did you feel guilty then?
Correct.
You did? Okay.
I felt guilty, and out of that guilt made me want to not only turn away from God.
That's
not
what I'm asking.
God,
that's okay.
Not deal with people.
Don't, you're going to change the topic.
Yeah, go ahead.
Please. It's just, ate the donut, you were fine. You saw the sign, you were fine. You ate the donut, you were fine. Just want to see where the bondage was evident to you. After you ate the donut, you felt guilt is what you said.
Correct.
Okay, that's all. Thank you. That was yes, thank you for sharing, Steve. And we'll come back. We're not going to leave you hanging there, but the guilt piece. So we invited you to take some time to give some thought. If you didn't during the week, that's okay. You're going to have a minute now to do it. If you would take one, if you have your own notepad, you don't need to use it. I'm not asking for these is my point. This is for you. If you just take one and pass the whole pile down.
Okay.
Thank you. The reason I wanted to not ask you to just think about it, if you take a pen and pass, take the whole pile for me if you don't mind. Thank you. That way I can. So these aren't for me. These aren't for you to share with anyone if you don't want to. It's just so that we can actually take a minute and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and capture it. Some of you this may be very natural, but for some of you it's not, okay? And so capturing it is the act of bringing it into the light. So for Steve, the eating of the donut isn't really the issue, because he can discipline himself. He didn't eat a donut today. Amen. He could go over some discipline program, mm-hmm. But it's the guilt that opened the door. And so he can, the other thing I wanted to mention is we could go through with each person, what was the origin of the feeling? And we could go through, before you write anything, I'll just let everyone get a index card there. The We could have continued to work with Steve and have him process what was going on, right? We could do that for each one of us. You could go to a counselor and that counselor would say, well, what were you feeling in the moment and what were you thinking? And go through. And there can be life in that. There really can. The great news is the Spirit of life set us free from the spirit of sin and death. So simply taking any piece of the branch that the Spirit brings to your awareness and acknowledging that by bringing it into the light, write it down or say it and say, you know what, God? I realize I feel a sense of guilt or condemnation in this area and there is now no condemnation. So I just want to lay this at your feet and acknowledge it and you're done. You don't need someone to, he will, he is faithful. We don't need to turn grace into some magic pixie dust. There are strategies. There is a book if you're interested. There's tons of stuff, but this woman, Carolyn Leaf, Switch On Your Brain. She has the one before this is Switch Off Your Brain. Who Switched Off My Brain is the first one. And then Switch On Your Brain. And at the end, there's a 21-day detox program. It's awesome.
She's also an amazing Christian, South African woman. She tours the first 25 years of her practice in clinical study. And she's a neuroscientist.
Yes, thank you. I don't have time.
She's a Christian woman. It's
yes, awesome. She's a Christian woman. Thank you. I didn't mean to be rude. I'm just on the clock. So anyway, I just want to say there's as deep as you feel led to go or not go, but you don't need to do that. You get to if there's an area. There's an area you brought into the light. He may lead you to something that ends up being something to work with. But for the moment, whether it's whatever the trigger is, the donut, the getting angry, the feeling like withdrawing from somebody or something, not engaging in something you enjoy anymore because of fear. If it's because of fear, that's bondage. Even if the thing wasn't good for you, if you're avoiding it because of fear, that's bondage. Whatever the Spirit brings, I'm inviting you to take a minute now and just ask the Holy Spirit to open your mind up and capture anything, one thing, two things, three things, just for you that come to mind. So take a minute, enjoy. And
can we state the question how we're supposed to answer this on the paper again?
I would say, great, thank you, make it a little easier. I would say, I should have been more specific. What is an area that you notice a pattern that does not feel free in your life? Yeah. Doesn't have to be grand. Remember, it could simply be when someone cuts me off in traffic, And you're only writing it for you, so it's however you. We'll put some background music. So if you're at home, play along as you're watching the video.
Something about a before and after. I mean, I, like, in my case, I had a very dirty mouth.
So would you do me a favor, write for now? Save it for a minute?
Okay.
Or say, just, I don't want to interrupt people in there. Thank you. I want to hear it. Just give a minute or two. And again, as you're writing, as you're thinking, it could be could have nothing to do with anything significant. In fact, I'd invite you to seek one that isn't significant if you have a significant one. So if you came up with something that's big, that's a big area that you know of that you're frustrated with, also just for fun, seek something that seems so insignificant. See if you can capture that as well. Okay, time-wise, should have given you a little more time, but by the way, it's so cool what song came up. The song is I Knew What I Was Getting Into when I chose you. Okay, so I didn't mean to be I didn't mean to be rude before. You were sharing?
This is Beth told me that this is her number three. I have a very dirty mouth.
Okay.
And so I promised God that I won't do this anymore. And thinking back, that was bondage right there.
Amen.
Okay, because I was trying to, okay, and I found out that through experience, every time I said something, I would feel this, and I would say, I'm sorry, and continue. I didn't, okay? And eventually, it's gone away. It shows up its ugly head every once in a while, but it's not as prevalent as it used to be.
Are you saying it's not as prevalent now because you no longer...
No, I didn't do anything.
But
okay,
I missed...
Prayed that...
Gotcha, okay. That... So before you said you didn't want to do it because...
Yeah, it was like I promised to do this.
Yes,
I
yes.
Something in return.
And that wasn't working, right?
And it never worked because...
Awesome, yes, thank you.
Guilt came in every time I said it.
Thank you. So that's awesome. That's the testimony that every one of us... that was meant to be shared as another example. It's freedom that comes from just acknowledging him in that way, in all our ways, in this area, disciplining himself to it wasn't the answer. It is bondage. It is not his best. The Spirit of life came to set us free. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, the Spirit of the Lord lives in a temple. Where is his temple? You, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not there might be, there sometimes is. And it says we move from glory to glory. We literally look into a mirror as if a mirror and see our reflection. As we look at God, we see the godness in us, Christ in us. So whatever thing you wrote down, we heard some examples. The donut wasn't the issue. The guilt is the issue. The cursing wasn't the issue. It was the guilt and condemnation that said, I better stop this for God, instead saying, God, I lay this at your feet, okay? And I don't know what else is going to break free, but I promise you, as you do take that thing on that paper and lay it at his feet, there's going to be a rain. It's not R-E-I-G-N. We're promised in Romans 5:17 that we reign in this life with Christ. But when you reign, when you take that and lay it at his feet and allow the Spirit of life to be acknowledged, there's rain, R-A-I-N, that trickles down, kingdom rain, and washes other areas of your life. And freedom becomes more and more to the flow that Beth was talking about, where you are walking and acknowledging life without even having to necessarily actively acknowledge him in every second and go, because then that becomes a work too. Anyway, thank you, Daddy, that you set us free and long for us to know our freedom and remain in freedom and live free, knowing that there is now no condemnation in Christ. Not now, not ever for us. We walk free from guilt and condemnation and shame. Thank you. We can bring those things into the light and have them washed away forever. Thank you for the boldness of each and every person here to say yes to what you have for them. You rock, God. Amen.